A lot of the hiring we've been seeing this spring seemed to dry up in May, according to fresh numbers out this morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news the U.S. economy created only 27,000 more jobs in May. That's like getting 300 on your SAT math. We would hope for much more. This does not compare favorably to the previous month when 275,000 jobs were added. Interest rates moved down on the news this morning with the key 10-year benchmark falling to 2.09%. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Just 27,000 last month? I bet that number got your attention.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And that will get the attention of the entire market. That's incredibly low, particularly when estimates were for about 173,000 ads.
The official jobs report comes out in 2 days on Friday morning, so we'll see if that's confirmed. Some of the blame here apparently goes to retail stores, which aren't hiring like they used to. What else do you think is up?
I think some of the blame is being attributed to that, but I don't know that that would be the big cause here. People are getting a little concerned about trade, a little concerned about where the economy is heading.
Where things are going in part because of the trade war.
Indeed. We don't know where the tariffs are going to end up. We have a lot of issues going on with China. That discussion is getting prolonged rather than shortened. And now we have Mexican tariffs on top of that. It becomes confusing for the small businessman to operate. I think that's probably what's driving it.
All right. And I hate to spoil a dramatic headline, but it's always a possibility of a fluke in the data, right?
Always. But nevertheless, this number is going to impact market trading today. People are going to focus on it just because the magnitude of the difference is so large.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, caught her going through O'Hare Airport in Chicago just now. Susan, thank you.
Thank you.
It'll be more difficult for U.S. travelers to experience Havana Nights starting today. And as of now, the Trump administration has reinstated restrictions on the main ways to travel to Cuba, which the Obama administration had eased. Marketplace's Ben Bradford explains how travel companies are responding.
The Trump administration order immediately halted cruises, the most popular form of travel to Cuba.
I think it'll be significantly disruptive.
Attorney Pedro Freire represents cruise lines that sail to Cuba.
What happens to all the Americans that paid for their trip to Cuba in the future, and now they won't be able to go by cruise lines?
The federal order grandfathers in flights and hotel bookings U.S. travelers have already made, but it also bans a class of educational and cultural trips widely used for tourism. Tom Popper of travel company Cuba Insight says other exemptions for Cuban travel still exist, like a provision related to support for the Cuban people.
Regulation changes with regard to Cuba always are occurring, different new administrations, but Cuba remains legal and a great destination.
He spoke yesterday via Skype.
We actually hope to have new options for Americans to legally travel to Cuba tomorrow.
But that's a little solace for the people who've had their cruise plans put on hold. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Fiat Chrysler is itching to merge with Renault of France. Renault was supposed to say if it's into this yesterday. The Renault board instead was noncommittal, but is studying the marriage offer, quote, with interest. If you're a member of your local public radio station, we thank you because your support helps those stations keep programs like Marketplace on the air. But for Marketplace to really grow, we need additional investment from those who care most about what we do. Superfans like you. Your donation helps us create more content that matters to you and your community and to reach more people where they are, whether it's radio, podcasts, or online. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you. Now to our continuing coverage of technological disruption in the workplace, a.k.a. robots ate my job. Today, why it is also a gender issue. Quaylen Ellingrud is a senior partner at the consulting firm McKinsey. She's just co-authored a report called The Future of Women at Work, Transformation in the Age of Automation.
What we've known for a long time is that automation will affect jobs. What we didn't know up until now is that how it will affect women and how it will affect men and women differently.
By these calculations, I think men and women essentially have the same odds of a robot or automation taking away their job, that robots don't discriminate that way. But the fallout of AI, software, robots in the workforce, nonetheless affects women differently from men.
what we found out was two main insights from this research. The first was that 40 million to about 160 million women will need to transition occupations by 2030. It's roughly the same ratio for men, but for women, it's going to be a much harder transition.
What are some of the things that'll make it harder for women to make the transition?
Three things. The first is the right skills that match the jobs of the future. The second is physical mobility. And the third is access to and comfort with technology. So in skills in particular, oftentimes women have the same or in some cases even, you know, more education, but not always the right skill set for the jobs of the future. In terms of physical mobility, for instance, in India, 60% of employed women are in rural subsistence farming, and they don't have the mobility from those rural areas to move into the cities where the jobs are going to be created. And the third thing is around technology. In terms of access to and comfort with technology, women also have a gap.
Disruption itself is not a trivial process. It's very difficult for a society.
Disruption is hard, and that transition period is really challenging for women and men, and we think in many cases more challenging for women. But there is a silver lining. The jobs that remain will be higher skill, higher paid, and in many cases more fulfilling. So a nurse, for example, will continue to have that patient interaction and the care for the patient, but will do a lot less data entry and forms review. The other element is that automation will also create jobs. So, for example, today there are machine learning coders who didn't exist 20, 30 years ago. The next equivalent of that will also emerge. I think historically men have been better positioned for those frontier type jobs. About 60% of those jobs have typically gone to men, but those are a new opportunity for both women and men going forward.
McKinsey senior partner Quelan Ellenrood is co-author of the report, The Future of Women at Work, Transformation in the Age of Automation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're also covering some new survey data we commissioned. One of the findings is about student debt and mental health. Marketplace.org or our podcast feed if you miss it on the air. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.